I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, if you go down into the Mexican state of Michoacán along the Pacific Ocean, this is something you might see. Forests thick with evergreen trees, the flapping wings of monarch butterflies, and groves of avocados waiting to be slathered on toast.
The mountains in Mexico where avocados are grown have traditionally been cool throughout the winter, and there are pine forest and fir forest there that kind of create their own hydrological cycle. But now they've been thinned so much for avocados and the climate is getting warmer.
All right, well, maybe we should wait before aiming our knives at those avocados. What do you think, Lauren?
As much as I fit the avocado-loving millennial stereotype, I have to admit that, yeah, it seems like we need to chill out a little bit and stop trying to put them on everything.
And it's too bad that more people aren't of that mindset, because according to a recent study by the group Christian Aid in the UK, avocados could be endangered by the year 2050. The researchers said that climate change could cause the areas used for growing avocados to decline by up to 41%.
And Christian Aid isn't the first group to notice that something is up with avocados. Climate Rights International, Global Forest Watch, and the Center for Biological Diversity have all written about it. Our guest today, Tierra Curry, is actually an endangered species coordinator and senior scientist for the Center for Biological Diversity.
When we log more forests to grow more avocados, the forests become more vulnerable, and then we suck out all the water, and then they catch on fire, and then there's less area, and then those forests are less healthy. So yeah, it's kind of a sad situation.
I'm Lauren, a producer here for Something Offbeat.
And I'm your host, Mike Rogers. Here's my interview with Tierra, who joined us from Kentucky this week on Something Offbeat. We're talking about avocados today. Can you grow avocados in Kentucky?
You know, I haven't tried. I have probably 12 different kinds of fruit trees in my yard. I haven't tried avocados.
Avocados, man, I remember growing up, other than the occasional taste of guacamole, you just never saw people buying avocados and eating them. Avocado this and avocado that. What happened? When did this happen?
So avocados in the 1950s were taboo because people thought that they were an aphrodisiac. So people didn't eat them. And then in the 1980s, there was all the low-fat fad diets, so people didn't eat them. But then in the 1990s, when NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, opened up Mexico to American corn, America opened up to Mexican avocados. Before that, there was a ban on the import of them because the domestic producers in California and Florida were concerned about pests being imported. But NAFTA changed all that, and they went from being this obscure fruit to Americans eating 3 billion pounds of them a year.
I never knew they were considered an aphrodisiac.
Maybe if they still were, we wouldn't be having all these problems, or maybe we'd be having more.
Right. And why would you avoid an aphrodisiac? That's the other question. Very, very interesting.
And according to an article from Today, avocados were even considered aphrodisiacs as recently as 2021. They were right up there with other popular ones like oysters and chocolate.
You know, I read once that watermelon and pistachios are also aphrodisiacs. If that's true, I should be up there with Will Chamberlain.
That's a good reference, Mike. I like that one. You also mentioned that you remember a time before people seemed as avocado crazy as they are today. Are you a fan of avocados?
Absolutely. I love avocados, although I must confess I'm an amateur compared to my millennial daughters. When they were both home, home over the holidays, I had to buy those big mesh bags of them at the store.
I am always getting those bags of avocados, and I love them. But I think you mentioned at some point in this interview that they go bad pretty fast. So I always get big bags of avocados, and I use like half of them, and I feel pretty guilty about it. But I also remember the days when avocados were more on the fringe. They weren't as popular. So I did some snooping to find out when they became popular. I learned that Australian chef Bill Granger is known for popularizing avocado toast in particular. But by 2014, The Cut reported that that breakfast dish had already become an internet cliche.
All right, so we got a little bit of the history now. They took off in the 90s, maybe the early 2000s. And like I said, now we've got avocado everything. But I guess the popularity has created some problems too, right?
It has. Growing avocados is incredibly water intensive. It takes about 70 liters of water. That's about 19 gallons of water to produce one avocado. And most of them are grown in Mexico, in Michoacán, which is in severe drought. So rivers and streams are being diverted to avocado plantations, which are causing massive amounts of deforestation because they've become so very lucrative. So it's impossible to meet the U.S. demand, nonetheless, the global demand. The U.S. imports about 85% of the avocados from Michoacán, and it's coming at a severe cost to the forest and the communities there.
Are we seeing a little of this in California, too? I know that there are water issues there with regards to avocados.
There are major water issues in California for a lot of crops. So as the climate warms and drought becomes more intense and the human population grows and there's more and more demand on less and less fresh water, we're going to have to think carefully about where we grow what and how much of it we consume.
Can't they be grown in other parts of the world?
They can. California, Florida, Hawaii can grow avocados. It's just that most of them come from Mexico right now, and most of them come from this particularly drought-stricken region that's high up in the mountains because of the soil there and because of the agreements put in place under NAFTA. So now there's just all of this inertia around America eating avocados from Mexico, which you can see in the Super Bowl ad.
Tierra is referring to an ad last year that featured Anna Faris appearing as Eve to promote avocados from Mexico. According to the Avocados from Mexico website, it was created when a historic partnership was forged with U.S. importers and distributors in 2013.
Yeah, but even before that, the NAFTA agreement from the 1990s had begun to change our eating habits. Vox reported, and we've been munching on more bell peppers, cucumbers, limes, mangoes, papayas, and strawberries since the early 1990s.
Mike, does that ring true for you? Have you been eating more mangoes in your life since the 90s?
I love mangoes. And the good news there is that I'm the only one in the house who likes them, so I never have to share.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So how do butterflies fit into all of this?
So in addition to being a party pooper about avocados, I try to raise public awareness about the plight of monarch butterflies. So the monarch population east of the Rocky Mountains, they migrate from Canada and the United States all the way to Mexico to spend the winter. It's one of the longest migrations of any butterfly, and it's the only multi-generational migration. So it's this really cool phenomenon. And a lot of people grew up just seeing clouds of monarchs fly over or seeing them roosting in trees on their way to Mexico. But the area where the monarchs go to spend the winter, and they have to go there, it's the only place with the perfect conditions, is the same area that's experiencing this avocado boom. So the International Monarch Butterfly Biosphere Reserve is being clear-cut to grow more avocados to import to the United States.
So they're tied together, the avocados and the butterflies.
They are. They need the same forests.
In an unusual kind of way. So what do we do? Is this drought temporary?
Unfortunately, I bet the drought isn't temporary because of climate change. Monarch butterflies are supposed to get protected under the Endangered Species Act later this year. So that would free up more federal funding to help preserve those forests in Mexico and also to create more habitat for monarchs here in the United States. And monarchs are they're like an umbrella pollinator for the pollinator crisis. So protecting habitat for them will help protect the bees and all of the other species that are at risk because of the extinction crisis.
Like the circle of life, isn't it?
It is the circle of life. So by eating fewer avocados and trying to find organic and fair trade avocados, people are actually helping the monarch butterfly.
So what is the solution then? Are we going to have to give up our avocado toast and our guacamole?
We should definitely eat less avocado toast and guacamole. We need to diversify the sources of avocados. They need to become kind of more of a luxury item than a staple, but also buying organic or fair trade avocados so that the communities in Mexico who are trying to be environmentally sensitive benefit and not just the mega corporations and the people who are illegally clearing forests to grow them for export.
All right, so Lauren, you said earlier that you love avocados. Do you have any plans on cutting down on your intake?
After listening to you and Curry talk, yeah, I do plan to cut down a little bit. And to help out my fellow avocado fans, I did some more research into possible substitute to help us all ease our cravings as we try to cut down. So here are the ones that I found that sounded pretty good. You can go for pesto, you can go for egg yolks, pistachios, which you mentioned earlier, banana, and butter with edamame dip. Any of those sound good to you, Mike?
How about all of it together in a blender? You can just do a big pesto, pistachio, edamame smoothie.
I don't know, Mike, maybe you just created the next viral trend. And then there are some times, I have to admit, that only avocados will do.
You mentioned this again, these organic and fair trade avocados. Where can you find those? I mean, the organic, I suppose, any grocery store is going to have a big organic section.
You'd be surprised.
Really?
Yeah, because there just aren't that many organic avocados grown. And because of that, all kinds of pesticides and fungicides are sprayed in the habitat of the monarch butterfly in Mexico. So that's no good. But by consumers creating pressure and asking grocery stores, asking importers, demanding fair trade avocados, we can turn it around because our dollars have power. So that's one of the important ways to advocate for the monarchs and for the communities in Mexico that are suffering because of this is to try to get better conditions, not to buy avocados that are grown in illegally deforested areas or that are contributing all the pesticides to the environment.
What is a fair trade avocado?
Yeah, so that is a great question. Fair trade products are products where small farmers actually get a living wage from growing them. Right now, there's so many avocados grown that the importers and the corporations are making big bank, but the price is lowered for all the growers. So the traditional avocado farmers aren't making a decent living anymore while the corporations are getting richer.
Beyond that, is there anything that avocado lovers can do to kind of help ease the problem?
So avocados aren't inherently bad. We just need to change the market conditions. And so raising awareness is one big way to do that. We've been saying, make avocado toast. We're sorry to be guacward, but... So it's hard to always be the party pooper, but with market pressure, I think we can change this situation around. We just need more people to know where their avocados are coming from.
This has been it's been really interesting, very enlightening too. I'm gonna think about that the next time I'm at the grocery store.
If you ever want somebody to depress you with facts about the extinction crisis, I'm your go-to.
I'm Mike Rogers. Thanks so much for listening to Something Offbeat. This episode written and produced by Lauren Berry and Chris Blake. Audio editing by Chris Blake. And original music by Myron Kaplan. And to keep listening, please subscribe to us on the Odyssey app or Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast. And if you have your own offbeat story that you think we should cover, please send it to us at somethingoffbeat@odyssey. That's AUDACY.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.